You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I love that you're playing this song right now, Sam. I'm going to feel really, really good when I give out the next few clues that will lead you to the free Coach Andy Reid pencil artistic masterpiece.
And as far as we know, no one has found it yet. We haven't gotten a text on the text line. We haven't gotten a call. Nobody's posted on Facebook that they found it.
A scavenger hunt for you guys. The artist, by the way, Jeff Parson, please find him on Facebook. His works will just, it's amazing. He was in studio yesterday.
He goes by the Fearless Jackrabbit.
Fearless Jackrabbit on Facebook. And he posted a photo, and we posted a photo yesterday of his time in the studio with us. And he brought that wonderful Andy Reid rendition into the studio. So here's the deal. He posted on his Facebook page, ready, set, go. He posted it in the last hour. One of the clues is Andy Reid is on a, quote, mission to give someone a great Red Friday. Here are the final two clues. Andy Reid is on a mission on this Red Friday is clue number one. Clue number two, Nassim Johnson is a cornerback for the Chiefs, which is a coincidence when you see where I left this free art.
Starting to get a picture in my mind of where it is.
Clue number three, your final clue. The Chiefs are planting their hopes on a three-peat. So it's appropriate that this free drawing of Coach Reid is planted near a farmer's market.
Okay.
If you all can't find Coach Reid on that, I don't know what else to do for you.
And there is an additional bonus clue.
We'll wait for that one.
Well, it has to do with the holiday. We've already said it. We say it again?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's near a Christmas tree.
He told me yesterday in studio that he tries always during the holiday season.
Yeah.
To hide these near a Christmas tree on public property. Please do not go bursting into someone's living room on Johnson Drive.
No.
We are not going to be responsible for any trespassing. This is public property. On or near a Christmas tree, always. That's what he does.
Now we've got.
This is his fifth year doing it, by the way.
We've gotten a call saying that there are dozens of people in a very specific area based on the clues looking for said sketch.
Post your photos either on my Facebook page or post them on Fearless Jackrabbit's Facebook page because that is funny.
And if you find it, call in.
Yeah, if you find it, will you please call in at 913-586-7798? This is so much fun. Okay, that's your clue. Call us when you find it, and then we've got to get to this story, and I wish we didn't, but we do. I was in such a good mood. I am so angry. Oh, I am angry.
The Grinch who stole Christmas.
I am so angry for this young man, and we've got to update this story, and we'll bring it back when Scott's back on Monday, because it's just, this is so disheartening and so sickening to me. A judge has denied a Liberty senior basketball player eligibility to play varsity basketball. Absolutely infuriating for Rue Wells. Rue Wells and his guardian, his legal guardian, if you missed yesterday's show, Steve Mortimer, asked a Clay County judge to step in and overturn the decision by your Missouri State High School Activities Association when they decided in a 5-4 vote that this kid couldn't play. And here is the update. Matt Fleener had the story last night, and here's the update. Tashawn Rue Wells' chances of playing varsity basketball this season took a major step backward after a Clay County judge's ruling today. Clay County Circuit Court Judge David Chamberlain denied Wells' eligibility to play after a nearly 5-month appeals process with the Missouri State High School Activities Association. Judge Chamberlain acknowledged the emotion and interest inside and outside of the courtroom for Wells' case. Quote, there is no belief that I have that this was some type of a sham to move from one district to another, he said, of Wells' transfer. Again,
so he's
the judge
acknowledging
said,
that it's legitimate.
Yes, there is no belief that I have, this is the judge, that this was some type of sham to move from one district to another. Still, Chamberlain ruled, while he desired for Rue to play varsity basketball, and others did too, he had to apply the law and found that the Missouri State High School Activities Association did not violate procedure in applying its guidelines to Wells' request to jump to Liberty. I will remind you all, the kiddo transferred from Springfield Central High School, where he feared for his life, which is why he transferred to Liberty. Quoting here from the judge, I don't have to agree with the decision the Missouri State High School Association made. My job is to determine whether they followed their procedure.
Now, he did take the safe route here. He did rule
schlep it
objectively.
Back. Yep. Schlep it back off on the Missouri
based
State
on the law.
Association.
Yeah, the law states that he's not allowed to play basketball if he transfers schools because they're trying to stop schools from poaching players.
Which in Kansas now, you can jump any way you want, any direction you want, for any reason you want.
That is
Missouri
true.
Does not have the same
policy. I wouldn't be surprised if
yet.
That was coming down the pipeline soon.
My God, this poor kid. Rue had asked the Missouri State High School Activities Association to grant his ability to play on Liberty's varsity squad after moving from Springfield at the beginning of the school year. After the hearing, Wells broke down in tears and into the arms of Steve and Holly Mortimer, who have taken Rue into their home in Liberty. Outside the courthouse, both Wells and Steve Mortimer, his legal guardian, said they are disappointed with the ruling. Quoting here from Wells, I'm not doing the greatest. I just hope it goes well for the next kid in my situation. What a great kid. Sam, listen to this. Wells said he would continue to remain with his Liberty High School team and cheer them on. They gave me their support, Wells said. So I will give them my support and just see what the future holds for me. Quoting here from his guardian, Judge Chamberlain was very respectful. He gave us more attention in 5 hours in looking at this decision than the Missouri State High School Association gave us in 5 months. I will say this again. This has to be said. Shame on the Missouri State High School Activities Association. Shame on all of them.
And they have a history of
shame
playing
on
a hardline role.
All of them. Their executive director originally denied Wells' ability to play varsity basketball. She did allow him to play JV. One of their rules requires students to sit out a year following a school change. He doesn't have a year. He's
right.
17.
Going into his senior year.
And so what they did, they asked the Activities Association, will you grant me a waiver, like a hardship waiver?
Yeah.
He had a gun pulled on him in some sort of home invasion.
Police were called to his home
Police
on
were
a
called
variety
multiple
of different
times.
Occasions.
His own biological parents have said it is in his best interest to get out of Springfield and come to Liberty. He was bullied, all of those things.
And signed him over, for lack of a better phrase, to this family to take care of him.
MSHSAA, shame on you. It is absolutely disgusting that they have done this, and the judge says he has no choice but to follow the rule of the law. I will remind you, their executive director, Dr. Jennifer Ruckstad, by the way, ruled that his situation was not basically, Sam, bad enough to show that there is some need for him to leave his home in Springfield and come all the way to Liberty for the last 5 months and be granted a waiver to play basketball. And, you know, I had my annual lunch with all of my news friends today, and one of them asked, rightfully so, how bad does the need have to be? If he had been shot instead of just having, like, a gun pulled on him, is that enough need for you, Jennifer?
Well, and I think that this is more so a reaction to trying to squash what has been an issue in the past and less so a reaction to his story. I think that if this hadn't been such an issue for decades and decades to the point that they had to take such a hard line role in this, his story would have made waves. But they're looking at this saying, we've had to deal with this for so many years. We're not going to start allowing you to violate the rules when we've had to take a hardline approach on this for decades.
Who gets to decide how bad your life has to be for an emergency waiver? The word isn't even emergency waiver. I'll have to go back and look for the word.
It's a panel of nine people.
It's a hardship waiver. Yeah. How bad did his life have to be granted a hardship waiver? I would argue with the verified police activity at that home, he was in fear for his life. He testified as much in open court through tears, by the way.
Yeah. And
it's,
I agree,
it's enough
by the way.
For a waiver. He was leaving, by the way, a Final Four bound team. Like they're this great team in Springfield where he did play.
Yeah.
To a team that's probably not going to do as well statewide. This was not some ploy to jump to a better team for like a state championship ring. Shame on the Missouri State High School Activities Association. Absolutely despicable decision. And you have failed this young man.
Really quickly, before we get to break, let's switch from being upset to joy. We have a special guest on line one.
Josh, I'm going to allow myself to calm down, and I'm going to bring you back after the break because we are so happy that there is an update on our scavenger hunt. Josh will join us from Mission, Kansas, straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Stick with us for that. We've been teasing this since yesterday afternoon when our artist, Jeff, popped over and showed us one of his phenomenal pieces of artwork showcasing head coach Andy Reid. And he promised to hide that for our listeners. We did a little scavenger hunt, gave you all some clues. And lo and behold, Josh in Mission, are you the winner?
I am.
Were you listening yesterday when we said he was going to hide this free piece of art?
I was not, actually.
So you just heard about it today?
I did.
And you got in your car, or were you already driving?
I was already over in that area. I work over in that area. So when I heard the first two clues, I instantly knew and went right to where it was.
Did you really? Because Sam said on the text line there were like a crowd of people in one location. They must have been just off from where you found it.
It was right after you said the first two clues.
That's good on you for finding it, Josh. Tell everyone where it was.
It was under the Christmas tree on Johnson Drive in Mission.
At the farmer's market?
Yes.
And then what does it say on the back? Do you see it there?
It says, free artwork. This original artwork belongs to you now. Why? Because you're awesome. Take this artwork and be happy. Be joyful, be strong, but most importantly, be fearless. You got this. You're doing great. You matter.
What are you going to do with it, Josh?
I've actually got a family member who is a diehard Chiefs fan, and this would be a great add to their collection.
Oh, Josh, that makes me so happy. Well, thank you for playing along on the scavenger hunt. And we said this yesterday, and I know that Jeff believes this to be true. The person who is meant to find his free art will find it. Today, my friend, that is you. Congratulations. And I love this tradition. He's been doing it 5 years, by the way. He is Fearless Jackrabbit Art on Facebook. And give him a follow. Look at some of the amazing pieces that he's created. It's a lot of Chief stuff, but he does do other things.
His message is incredible. Be fearless. And when he says be fearless, he means be the best you that you can be.
Oh my gosh, I absolutely love it.
It's awesome.
Well, I just texted him that someone found it. Listener Josh, thank you for the clues.
So if you're roaming around the farmer's market in Mission right now, sorry.
Yeah, Coach Reid has already been taken. Coach Reid has left the building. And it is possible that the Fearless Jackrabbit is hiding a second piece somewhere this afternoon. And if it happens during the body of our program, we will absolutely let you know. So excited. Hear this? Party City is going out of business. What? Where am I going to get my balloons?
The party is over.
Party's over for Party City, the New Jersey-based retailer, which at once had more than 850 locations across the globe, will shutter all of its stores after running out of money to stay in operation, according to CNN. Their CEO gathered corporate employees on Friday and said Party City is winding down and, in fact, that operations are to cease immediately. They literally said, today is it. This is without question the most difficult message I've ever had to deliver, he said, at the meeting, which was held on a video conference call. Do they get a parting clutch of balloons?
Gosh, I hope so. I can only imagine the employees get to take some stuff home, because if they're shutting down immediately, it doesn't sound like they're having a
liquidation sale.
That's right.
Party City employees had anticipated the company's collapse for weeks.
Now, I'm a massive fan of Party City.
You get everything in there.
They were my family's go-to for every single holiday. Anytime we needed anything festive, we hit up Party City. They always had it. It was always cheap, and they always, you know, fulfilled the need that we were looking for. With that being said, I don't remember the last time that I was at a Party City, and I'm surprised that they lasted this long because of Amazon.
Be honest, Party Supplies, if you need a quick Halloween costume or
you're
a costume like for a Christmas party, people are having that delivered directly to their door.
Yeah.
They actually applied for Chapter 11 in January of last year with $150 million in debtor-in-possession financing to support its operations. They reported $1 to $10 billion in estimated assets and liabilities.
Well, another major issue with running a store like that, and we talk about that with this same issue with grocery stores from time to time, it's the sheer number of line items that you have on those shelves at a time. Since you have everything, you know, table skirts in 75 different colors, streamers in 75 different colors, that's a lot of inventory to uphold, and that's a lot of money that you are just sitting on, hoping that you can make that money back.
All right, when we get back, I don't know the last time on this program that we talked about what it must be like to be deaf in the United States of America. This is a huge development right now, where they are reporting out of the University of California that a new discovery could restore hearing for the deaf. We're going to talk about it. The research is straight out of Harvard. What does that mean? And I know we have a pretty healthy deaf population here, because the School for the Deaf is in Olathe. Isn't it still there?
There is one in the metro. I don't know if it's
the
Olathe.
The Kansas School for the Deaf has been in Olathe. It was in Olathe for decades.
Yeah.
We will have that development and that story for you straight ahead. Stick with us. All right, let's get right to it. Trying to figure out, by the way, if anyone with the Kansas School for the Deaf is available this afternoon, because so many of the kiddos are already off on break, and I assume the same is true for the staff, but we'd love to have somebody from the school call in on this. This is out of Harvard, where a study shows a new discovery could restore hearing for the deaf. Researchers at the University of California may have just figured out how to make the deaf hear again, and they did it by studying zebrafish. Apparently, those little guys have the ability to restore their hearing by regenerating cells. Researchers were, quote, floored to find that humans also have these same cells. Now, scientists just have to figure out a way to access them. And when they do that, hearing loss could become history. Now, the dateline on this story is, again, out of Harvard. Hearing loss affects 48 million Americans, 430 million people worldwide, with those numbers, of course, expected to grow as the population ages. More than 90% of individuals affected have sensorineural hearing loss. Sensorineural hearing loss, which is caused by damage to the inner ear and the destruction of the hair cells responsible for relaying sounds to the brain. My guess is those teeny tiny hairs way, way, way deep down in your canal. Hair cells cannot be regenerated in mammals, including humans, because other cells in the body, which may be able to divide and multiply, will not in this part of the body. For some reason, cells in the inner ear in mammals and humans cannot divide, and other inner cells within that deep ear canal cannot convert themselves into new hair cells. However, they have only now recently discovered, I don't know why it took this long, but it did, that species like fish, birds, and reptiles do possess the ability to regrow those cells. For this reason, effective hearing loss treatments for humans have eluded medicine, and the loss of hair cells, which can be caused by aging, noise exposure, and other factors, my guess is including trauma, renders an individual's hearing loss permanent. But Harvard Medical School scientists at Mass Eye and Ear are hopeful they've developed a solution to address this long-standing limitation. A research team at Mass Eye and Ear through Harvard has reported creating a drug-like cocktail of different molecules that successfully regenerate hair cells in a mouse model by reprogramming a series of genetic pathways within the inner ear. This was all published in April. They do believe it is the closest we've come, Sam, to cracking the code on hearing loss. Research that could one day pave the way for clinical trials for gene therapy that would be administered to people with hearing loss. Quoting here from one of the study leaders, these findings are extremely exciting because throughout the history of hearing loss and the hearing loss field, the ability to regenerate hair cells in the inner ear has been the holy grail. We now have a drug-like cocktail that shows the feasibility of an approach that could explore the future clinical applications. I don't know how they figured this out with the zebrafish. This is such high-level science stuff, Sam. I have no idea.
It's so far above my head, I won't even pretend to know the ins and outs of it.
Dumb question. Isn't the zebrafish the fish played by Dennis Leary in Nemo? Pretty sure that's what the zebrafish is.
Isn't that a clownfish?
No, the clownfish was Nemo. I'm a clown. Remember his dad? Anyway, how cool is that? We will, at the very least, reach out to the folks over break at the Kansas School for the Deaf, see what they think about the study.
Oh, you're talking about Gil.
Gil. See if we can get someone on next week or maybe the first week of the new year to talk about this. What I'm curious about is they've known mammals cannot regrow those hairs or cells. But how long have they known reptiles, birds, and fish can?
Well, and it's not just about those specific cells. It's about being able to figure out how to get those to grow in a specific spot, like the ear canal.
Okay. This next story also has something to do with your ears, and it's going to make you yawn. I apologize in advance. From CBS News. Humans are not alone when it comes to yawning. All vertebrates do it too, including fish, amphibians, reptiles, birds, and mammals. But why? The evolutionarily ancient act of yawning likely serves a few purposes, according to Andrew Gallup, a professor of behavioral biology at Johns Hopkins. The fact that it is conserved so widely across the animal kingdom suggests that it likely holds an evolutionary function, he said on CBS Mornings Plus this morning. The findings suggest that yawning may have a role in promoting changes in our state of alertness or activity patterns. We often yawn frequently before we go to sleep or after we wake up, he says. Yawns have been shown to increase arousal and alertness as associated with these changes. Research also suggests that yawning has a brain cooling function. I ask you, why, when you even talk about yawning, or when you see someone else yawn, or I hear you talking about yawn, I yawn? That's what I want them to study.
I definitely just yawned from you mentioning the word yawn. like four times.
Now we're all doing it. You're welcome.
Now, it doesn't necessarily coincide directly with being tired. It's just needing an influx of oxygen to the brain. It increases the heart rate because of that oxygen, in turn making you more alert.
Yeah, if you go down further into the story, it says it might be the opposite, that yawning isn't like to signal that you're tired and you're about to fall asleep. It's the thing that we do to wake us back up.
Because we do also yawn right after waking up in the morning because we're trying to get more blood flow to the brain.
I hate you for yawning.
Subconsciously trying to get more blood flow to the brain to make us more alert.
Okay. Here is the AI answer from Google. You yawn when other people yawn or talk about yawning because of a phenomenon called contagious yawning, which is largely attributed to mirrored neurons in your brain that mimic the actions of others, essentially causing you to unconsciously imitate the behavior of yawning when you see someone else do it. This can be interpreted as a sign of empathy or social connection with the person you are observing or hearing from.
Or just a reminder that, hey, I might want some more oxygen too.
No.
Research suggests that people who are more empathetic tend to yawn more contagiously, indicating a potential connection between mirroring behavior and understanding another's personal emotional state.
It's also why we yawn when we're on an airplane. Yeah. Because we can detect the change in altitude and it makes us yawn.
All right, two more airplane-related stories. Stop yawning. Holiday travel. Let's talk about it from ABC News. This year is expected to be the busiest on record for holiday travel. According to AAA, every major travel period is setting new records. In fact, just at the airport, they are expecting almost a 6.5% increase from 2023. That means 40 million travelers from last week to January 2nd. They predict that Thursday, December 19th, that would be yesterday, to Friday, December 27th, airports will be the most crowded. According to United Airlines, they anticipate its busiest day to be today.
Now, I'm very confused why this is a breaking news headline every single holiday.
Well, if it's shattering every year prior, that's why there's a holiday.
But that's what I'm saying is it would take a dramatic shift, like, I don't know, a pandemic, for the current year to not exceed the previous year.
American Airlines says it will serve more than 6.6 million bags of pretzels during its holiday travel time period. I'll tell you this. We flew Biloxi. I think we flew United Airlines. And they don't do pretzels anymore. They do a little bag of Gardettos, or you get this little like biscotti cinnamon biscuit thing. It's the best thing I've ever had in my life.
Really?
No, legit. I said to the woman, can I have two?
I bring my own snacks.
That's how good
airplane.
They are. Oh, no. Do you really?
I do.
Oh, I love those little Gardettos. So if you're traveling today, you don't know about the story that I just read. And if you're not traveling, you're thankful that you're not.
And again, have grace, people, while you're driving around, while you're doing your holiday shopping.
Have grace.
Traffic is insane.
Two things. If you're on your way to the airport, have grace. Arrive like an hour early and please shower. Like, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Arrive early, shower. Those are the two things you need to do if you're heading to the airport today.
And just be nice. Somebody's going to cut you off. That's their chance to be a jerk. You can take that chance to take the upper hand and be nice.
Then we have this before we get to the drones. A flight attendant has been hospitalized after falling from a plane. An investigation has been launched. Flight attendant is, I'm guessing, injured pretty badly. She was hospitalized in the UK after falling from the plane as it was preparing for departure. This is how it happened. The unidentified crew member stepped out of a TUI Airways plane at the East Midland Airport around 4:30 in the afternoon Monday, not realizing the steps were already gone. Like, you know how there's that, there's the, what do you call the tunnel that you walk through to get to the plane?
The Skyway?
The Skyway.
Or the Sky Bridge, or whatever it's called.
Whatever they call that, that they funnel you into to get to the plane. I always step very carefully between there's always a little bit of a crack.
It's called the jet bridge.
When you go from the jet bridge to the plane and from the plane to the jet bridge.
I do too. Why am I always convinced that it's going to randomly separate and I'm going to fall between the two?
I'm going to fall.
Do you also knock on the outside of the plane when you go in?
No, I don't do that. I don't do that. I do touch it and maybe sometimes tap it.
Yeah.
But I definitely am very careful about stepping over that crack. Here's the other deal. I don't want my cell phone to fall down the crack. That crack is wide enough sometimes that your cell phone falls down.
It's like the crack of an elevator door. You're never getting it back.
She, for some reason, stepped just out before realizing that that jetway, whatever you call it, had been retracted, and it sent her plummeting to the tarmac. How high would you say that would be, Sam? How tall is a commercial airplane?
15, 20 feet?
20 feet
somewhere
at least?
In there, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, not a small fall.
All right,
also, one that catches you by surprise, so you have no chance to position your body to soften the landing.
No,
you're just
down you go.
Like a ton of bricks.
Down you go. When we get back, we will update you on DroneGate. We've gone from there's nothing to worry about to we don't know what they are to there is absolutely no reason to worry to, okay, now we're temporarily restricting all drone flights in New York. And
yeah,
over parts of New Jersey.
I think that they know more than they're claiming to know, and that
there is
actually something to worry about.
What's worse, that they know and they're not telling us, or they don't know? I think it's worse if the government doesn't know.
I would agree.
913-586-7798. Conspiracy theories abound. What is going on over those two states? Some of them are airplanes, let's be honest. Some of them are airplanes that people are just so freaked out right now. They're like, oh, is that a drone? No.
Well, how do you mistake a 747 from a smart car-sized drone?
It's happening. 913-586-7798. We have the update straight ahead on Dana and Parks. We got some Chiefs breaking news, please. Yes, please, on this Red Friday before Chiefs Saturday.
Wide receiver Hollywood Brown could make his season debut tomorrow.
We have activation, people. We have activation.
He has been activated from the injured reserve list. The Chiefs also activated practice squad players, safety Deion Bush and tight end Anthony Firkser. Firkser, a third string tight end for us, but as we have seen in the last couple of seasons, we like to run tight end heavy formations.
Yep.
Hollywood Brown, I'm not 100% certain he's touching the field tomorrow, but he is active if they do want to play him.
I'll see you tomorrow. I want you to join us for the tailgate. We're going to have so much fun, Sam. I know you're going. I'm going to the game. This is the first game I've been to this season.
Bundle up. It's going to be cold.
Bunch of them last year. I've got my pocket hand warmers. If you guys have not discovered those on Amazon, they will change your life.
The electric hand warmers?
They're electric. They look like a computer mouse.
Yeah.
And
we've got like six of them. We're going to be charging them up tonight.
They're like $50. It's a great stocking stuffer or gift for like your adult children. If they go to concerts, if they go to Chiefs games, if they golf, if they do anything outside, for hunters, for hikers, for anyone outside, it is the greatest gift. And I've got those charging. I've got my heated vest charged up. It's going to be cold, but it's going to be sunny.
It's going to be a blast. It's not going to be nearly as cold as the game that we were at last year. So that's our saving grace.
Nothing was as cold as that game last year. The one where people were getting their like nipples surgically removed after because they went shirtless. That happened.
It was the fourth coldest playoff game in NFL history, and we were there for it, and we survived to tell the story.
Do you remember there were so many amputations after that game? Like, we heard from the burn units at KU and, around town.
I was sitting about halfway up in one of the sections where there were two guys in the front of the section shirtless for the entire game.
Yeah.
I had like seven layers on the top, seven layers on the bottom, gloves, the hand warmers, ski masks.
It did not end well for a whole lot of people that thought that they could do that, despite all of the warnings. And we reached out multiple times and said, is it possible, after a months-long healing process, is it possible to get someone on the program who maybe could warn others that this happened to me? Not a single Chiefs fan wanted to talk about it. And I get it. You're talking like months of rehab and physical therapy and occupational therapy, depending on whether it was your hands or your ears.
Losing
or your feet,
a limb.
Losing a limb. We never could get in contact with anyone who wanted to talk about it. If you're going tomorrow, bundle up.
Speaking of the Chiefs, we're just 4 days away from the documentary that we all didn't know that we needed this Christmas season. Christmas Eve, Chiefsaholic. the documentary will be released.
What streaming service?
I'm
not watching it. I'm just curious.
Yeah, you will. I'm going to watch it.
I think it's Paramount. Oh, was it Amazon? I don't remember. It's so ridiculous that they are doing another documentary. The first one was terrible, by the way. They had one girl who kind of knew who he was and went on one date with him.
A wolf in sheep's clothing.
Okay. Okay.
What?
Okay.
It is on Amazon Prime. Comes out Christmas Eve.
I was wrong. Amazon Prime. All right. Last thing I'll mention before we get to your drone update. The Superman trailer is out for the new Superman coming to theaters in 2025. I think it is going to be the highest grossing film of all time ever.
Oh, it looks incredible.
It looks incredible. And if you're wondering, why don't you play the trailer? The opening scene is basically Superman being like jet catapulted into the snow. He's laying there bleeding. There is no audio. It's a bunch of like dun, 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 dun.
Suspenseful dun, dun, music, dun. Yeah.
It's suspenseful music. There is a dog. Superman has a dog that is trying to rescue him. And then you just see him saving lives like Superman does. But
I'm
there is
forward to it.
No audio.
And when you go see it next year, look for the cameo of the son of the original Superman. He makes an appearance. Will Reeve.
Will Reeve, Christopher Reeve's son is in the movie, but does not play Superman.
He does not play Superman. Right. That is correct.
Moments ago, here is your drone latest headline. New York and New Jersey have temporarily restricted their airspaces as officials now demand Congress pass legislation. The FAA today has granted temporary flight restrictions over some of New York's critical infrastructure sites in a measure that officials are calling, quote, purely precautionary. All of the airspace over those two states has been temporarily closed to drones as authorities begin working to slow the number of sightings across the eastern United States. The governor says, again, this is purely a precaution. People aren't buying it. Drones are now being spotted in Texas, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Massachusetts, California, and Florida. The FAA has been flooded with, quote, sightings. But the New York Times looks into this, and Sam, there are photos of people saying this is a drone. And when you zoom in on that with like super, 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 like Superman strength, it's an airplane.
Yeah.
I'm not saying some of these aren't drones. Some of them are just airplanes, and people are so panicked, they are reporting these as drones.
The lights on the object that is very far away, I don't know, roughly 40,000 feet above you, that is moving at a steady pace, is not a drone. The light that is coming from the thing that is humming 15 feet above your head and not moving because it's stationary, because it's a drone, that's a drone.
Got it. Back with much more straight ahead. Festivus Friday coming your way at 5 o'clock, the airing of the grievances. You're listening to Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.